6, but a 21.0 shocker.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I am Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Also want to thank our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship, sponsoring some of the programming and events here at Capital OTB during their championship season, which winds down. We're getting close to Florida Derby, and that pretty much puts the exclamation point on the championship meet. At that point, we'll see some of the trainers and the jocks start to head north, maybe take a little sojourn to Keeneland before getting back to New York. But Rod Ortiz, I read, will be back in New York sooner rather than later when the meet ends. And so things are kind of hitting springtime, as it were, in the racing world. The exclamation point was on the Fairgrounds meet yesterday, and we will talk at the towards the end of the program, our last segment, we'll have Brian Addo join us again. He's been down there at Fairgrounds throughout the winter meet, and so I thought we'd get some live commentary on the stakes action from yesterday. That'll be coming up towards the end of the program. As always, at the top of the program, we'll review some of the other stakes action, including some of the Gulfstream stakes, one over at Oak Lawn and Aqueduct as well, and one across the pond that was a little bit interesting from earlier this week. So all of that in the first segment. Second segment, we'll do a little handicapping, and then Brian Addo at the end for the recap of the Fairgrounds stakes action. News came out yesterday. Life is good. Goes to the sidelines after coming up with what seems like a little bit of a ding maybe after a workout yesterday. I will say, if you didn't watch Racing Across America yesterday with Jeremy Plonk, pull up the replay via YouTube, and Jeremy Plonk kind of prescient as far as his thoughts on Life is Good, who he had at the top of his Derby 20 list, but he was kind of curious with the way the horse drifted in the stretch in the past couple of races and whether that was signaling maybe the horse would not be able to make it to the Derby, and it seems like that is the situation now. And as I say, a little bit prescient yesterday on the show on Racing Across America with Jeremy Plonk. But today we recap, and as I say, plenty of stakes action to touch on down at the Fairgrounds coming up a little bit later on. But let's start in New York. Yesterday in New York, the Cicada, it scratched down to a field of four, and this one is kind of interesting on the the replay, the rebound, as it were, going back to what Maggie was saying in the paddock. And she gives great commentary on the horses, but yesterday she had talked with trainer Ray Handel, and just read it. Had a couple of nice races in New York. The debut in December was an okay debut to build on, and then did just that in the second start in January, a nice maiden win. Subsequently went out and tried a stakes race at Turfway. So, you know, you ship out of New York and you go to a track with a synthetic surface, and as a handicapper, you're looking at that and kind of thing. You know, Ray Handel's more of a New York guy. Well, Maggie said, I talked to Ray, and he said, you know, the horse had worked okay at Ocala, which is a synthetic surface, but more importantly, it seemed like he was indicating that race came up on the schedule so that they would be ready for yesterday's race. And so, again, it was great commentary in the paddock where it alerted you that the trainer was actually looking at the Cicada yesterday as, the end point, and the Turfway race was just to get there. And sometimes that's useful information. It turned out that way yesterday. Just read it. Went off as the third choice, field of four, 3-1. Favorite was Save, the number four horse for Tommy Amos. coming up from Fairgrounds. That one disappointed, fading to third. But you can see number five, Just Read It, takes the lead here, over save. Coming up on the inside is Exogen, the rank outsider at 22-1, and gives a real race of it. I mean, the chart margin winds up to be ahead, but Just Read It does hold on. And as I say, it was interesting to hear that that was the game plan. This was the race they were pointing for, and they scored in the race they were pointing for. Career start number four, career win number two. Now has a stakes race on the resume for the Ray Handel trainee, Just Read It. Again, save came up from two nice wins at the Fairgrounds in the career, two for two. And the Tommy Amos, you know, looked at the condition book and said, let's go up to New York and try to pull down a $100,000 stakes race. That one, I like the horse. Betting public made it the 4-5 favorite. But, boy, that was a disappointing third. I said yesterday on the show, there's a little bit of a possibility. Maybe Save is kind of a horse for a course type of a runner and really like the Fairgrounds. I just have a feeling this will be a nice little three-year-old filly sprinter. Like yesterday may have been a blip on the radar for Save, but it was a nice win, again, from Just Read It. For Ray Handel and company. And again, it was interesting to hear the paddock commentary and get a little insight. As I say, Maggie does a great job normally when she is just giving you thoughts on you know, the horses and how they look in the paddock. But yesterday was a little more behind the scenes, which I thought was helpful too, if you picked up on that. Yes, again, in a four-horse field, to wind up with the third choice and get a little info that may have played into it was certainly worthwhile. All right, let's go back and take a look at the three stakes yesterday down at Gulfstream. We'll kind of work our way backwards. The Texas Glitter was for three-year-olds sprinting on the turf. I liked Field Day in here for Brad Cox. Betting public did also. The dollar and 10 cent to a dollar favorite. Had a little traffic, did Field Day, and winds up running third. The number three horse, Kasim the Four, runs second, but it is Warrior's Pride, the number eight, at 10-1, getting it done. I didn't use this one. First time on turf, had tried the Hutchison last time and ran, you know, an uninspiring fifth. The Limehouse before that had also run fifth, but took to the turf yesterday. Got out there under Junior Alvarado and essentially took them all the way around. They were gaining at the end, but Junior Alvarado had had enough of a lead there to hold them off. Kasim gets the second by a nose over the favored Field Day, but it was a nice ride, a nice heady ride to go out there, take the lead, and get them all the way around. It, you know, you had to look in the crystal ball a little bit because horses like Field Day, Kasim, Nitro Time already had some decent turf form. So again, you had to look in the crystal ball a little bit to come up with Warrior's Pride in there. But if you did, got rewarded with that 10-1 price. Junior Alvarado with a nice day yesterday. And Acacia Courtney was talking in the winner's circle. I'm not sure it was after this, after one of his wins. It was after he was on board. One will watch. In fact, we'll watch it, and then I will talk about what he said in the winner's circle, which was nothing monumental, but it was notable on a nice day for Junior Alvarado. And let's go back and watch that previous stake. The Hurricane Birdie also on the card yesterday. Grade 3 event for Phillies and Mares, going 6.5. And Pacific Gale is a Kimmel runner that on any given day can run a good race. But it had been a while before the last time. And so in the inside information last time, I didn't use the horse. I wasn't thrilled with the horse. But Pacific Gale finally gets the wake-up call and gets back to the winner's circle after having not seen it in a long time. Off of that race, I thought, man, I think you have to tilt towards Pacific Gale. The number four horse, again, Junior Alvarado on board this one as well. She finds some daylight, off to the races. She puts two back-to-back. Number seven, Sound Machine, runs second, and Seguro Road Row runs third in there. But Pacific Gale gets it done. And it was interesting, after winning the last race, the inside information, and again, she had raced nine times last year, Pacific Gale, and didn't have a win. But she was a talented runner, had been a stakes quality runner, and prior to yesterday had banked over $500,000. But again, it had been quite a while since seeing the winner's circle before that last race. And John Kimmel was interviewed in the Winner's Circle after the inside information last time back in January. And he said, you know, they're kind of thinking about retiring the horse, the connections and whatnot. And I said, train it pretty well. Let's give it another shot. And they were rewarded with the win in the inside information. Now they come back yesterday and get the Hurricane Birdie. But again, it was after this race that Acacia, before the win in the next stakes race, Acacia said, you know, you're having a great day, Junior, and it's been a nice meet for you as well. Certainly has been. And he talked a little bit about what a good meet it has been, and it had been a while since he'd spent the winter in Florida, but it was certainly a fruitful effort. I'm just looking, you know, going into yesterday, had over 40 wins at the meet, hitting at a pretty good percentage, and he had, you know, unsurprisingly, being a guy based in New York and already having made some nice connections, he certainly was connected with some of the better trainers down there during the meet, which offered him good opportunities. So it has been a good meet for Junior Alvarado. And again, we're now getting to that point in the year where next week we'll kind of wrap things up for the championship meet, and some of these jocks will be heading back to New York, and Junior Alvarado clearly one of those as a New York-based guy. But he put in a really nice winter season down at Gulfstream, and a very nice day yesterday as well, as we've seen already with a couple of stakes victories on the card yesterday. Let's go a little bit earlier on the card. This is one worth watching as well. The Melody of Colors, 5 furlongs on the turf for 3-year-old fillies. The favorite, the horse I liked in here, what even money, was the Wesley Ward trainee Wink, had debuted last June at Belmont. That was a win. Followed that up at Monmouth in a little stakes race. That was a win. Both of those turf sprints that then propelled Wesley Ward to head over to Europe and try a turf sprint over there. Wound up at Longchamps in France the beginning of September in a sprint stakes race, a Group 3. Wound up second as the 4-5 favorite. The betting public has now jumped on Wesley Ward when he ships over from the United States. He has been doing very well taking this type over there for those turf sprints. But again, the two wins in the United States, the second place finish in Europe, that wrapped up the season for Wink. She comes back for the 3-year-old debut on Saturday afternoon at Gulfstream in the Melody of Colors, and again went off as the even money favorite. She'll be the 4 horse here, and pretty much takes them all the way around under Javier Castellano. Lioness of Brittany runs second at 12-1. Can't Buy Love at 21-1 runs third. So he had some prices underneath, but the short priced favorite gets it done on the front end again for Wesley Ward and Javier Castellano. 4th career start, 3rd career win, 3 wins and a second now in 4 starts. A nice little filly turf sprinter for Wesley Ward. And, you know, you'd have to think Keeneland and New York in this one's future, certainly. Who knows, Kentucky Downs in the fall. But prior to that, you would think we'll get the opportunity to see Wink in New York at some point, because again, stakes quality turf sprinter for Wesley Ward. And given it's Wesley Ward, I also wouldn't be shocked to see her try the boys. It's you know, just he'll look in the condition book in the calendar. I wouldn't at all be shocked to see her try the boys. Looking at the resume so far, the career debut was versus the boys, and the race over in Europe was versus the boys. So that will not be out of the question this year either, you would have to assume. All right, let me move on to Oaklawn yesterday in the gazebo. That was $150,000 up for grabs for the 3-year-olds going 6 furlongs. The notable horse in here was Casadero, Steve Asmussen trainee that had won really nicely to start the career last May at Churchill. Big win, follows it up trying stakes company as a 2-year-old again last year at Churchill in June in the Bashford Manor, wins that one, then comes up to Saratoga and tries the Saratoga Special and goes off as the 8-5 favorite and winds up pretty well beaten 5th behind Jackie's Warrior. Not seen since then. But on the three-year-old seasonal debut for Steve Asmussen and Stone Street, Casadero will be the number six horse. Betting public made it the 4-5 favorite. Oof, it was not a spectacular debut, as Casadero will wind up a well-beaten fourth. Sir Wellington, the number one horse, wins. Jackson Traveler, also an Asmussen horse, runs second. Game Day runs third. Jackson Traveler, for our friends at West Point Thoroughbreds, makes a nice run here to just come up a little bit short. And this is a nice runner for the folks at West Point. And Steve Asmussen had come into this race with a 3-for-3 record, and as I say, made a nice late run and just came up a little bit short. But Jackson Traveler, nice effort there. Sir Wellington, however, at 6-1, winds up getting the victory. Had won a stakes race a couple of races previously against Louisiana Breds down at the fairgrounds. Followed that up in an allowance event right here at Oak Lawn, running second. And then the Mac Robertson trainee and career start number six puts a stakes victory on the resume in the gazebo yesterday down at Oak Lawn. And again, what was kind of a fun and interesting race, with both Jackson Traveler being undefeated in there and Casadero having shown that early promise in the career. They'll both be interesting to watch going forward. Certainly off of that effort, Jackson Traveler, the 3-for-3 record going in and the good closing effort to just come up a little bit short. Casadero, now, you know, two disappointing efforts back-to-back on the page. Certainly they were months apart, and this was the first race off a long layoff. I want to see one more from him before I know what to make of the potential three-year-old career and whether it will live up to what we saw early in the two-year-old season, because, again, it was a long layoff, and, you know, it's a comeback effort, so I was kind of willing to forgive one in that situation. All right, let me show you one more in here. And we're going back to last week, and we're going to watch a race at Cheltenham over in the UK, which traditionally they have two seasons. It's changed a little bit over the past few years. Now that they have some synthetic racing, you get a little more flat racing in what is the off season. But they have a legitimate kind of flat season that starts in the spring and goes to the fall, and traditionally then the jump season starts. Well, the end of the jump season has traditionally been Cheltenham, which is kind of equivalent to over here the robin showing up in your front lawn. You know, hey, it's springtime, and Cheltenham is the racing version of that over in the UK. And on the jump side, there's nothing like a Cheltenham win. It's a blue ribbon on your resume when you can get it. Well, we're going to watch a race from last week at Cheltenham, and we're going to watch Tiger Roll get the victory here. And it's notable because, as I say, this is the premier meet for the jumpers. And so you get a victory here in your career, that's big. You get five, that's huge. And this is an 11-year-old getting it done at Cheltenham earlier this week and getting it done pretty easily. Tiger Roll for the fifth win at Cheltenham in his career. And again, 11 years old. It made a lot of buzz overseas and whatnot with the victory. Because again, it's just fun to, and that's part of, I like the steeplechase races up at Saratoga. And part of it is you see these horses that have a little elongated career by going over the jumps, and I think that when you look at an 11-year-old get a nice win at a big meet like that, it's just fun to see. And fifth win at Cheltenham for Tiger Roll, again a little bit earlier this week, as they did have the Cheltenham meet, and it is a signal that spring has arrived. And so as I do watch the international racing calendar, worked out for me as well that spring has arrived, Cheltenham. And I didn't check, I normally if you go to the Clancy's website, this is horseracing.com, normally Sean Clancy goes over, and I did not check recently to see if he was over there. I know last year I think he was over, and then the COVID thing hit, I think, as he was over there, if I remember. But I don't know with the situation whether he made the trip this year or not, but normally he goes over. does a great job of kind of covering it, because as I say, it's the exclamation point on that jump season, which again, traditionally, that's their winter racing over there. That's the focus. But again, now they do have those synthetic tracks, which offers some flat racing during the year. But that means jump racing kind of in the rearview mirror, and we'll look for the flat season to start over in the UK, and things will get heated up there as well. All right, I'm going to take a break. When we come back, we will do a little handicapping. As I said earlier, about 20 of the hour, something like that, our last segment will kick off. We will be joined by Brian Addo from the Fairgrounds, and he'll help us go over some of the stakes action at the Fairgrounds yesterday, highlighted by the Louisiana Derby. But first, some handicapping. All of that, however, right after this. Stay tuned.
Find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. Seth Merrill in the studio. Hopefully, if you've been rooting for a team in the NCAA tournament, you move through. I did with my Syracuse team, and certainly rooting for them this afternoon as well against West Virginia. So we'll see how that all plays out. Don't forget, if you come here to the Racebook, you can enjoy all the basketball action and all the racing action as well. And today, here at the Racebook, there's a double promotion also with a handicapping contest and a match bet promotion. That's all this Sunday afternoon right here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, handicapping segment. I thought I'd do a little late pick four action at Tampa. And as we were in the commercial break, I pulled up the scratches, and there are scratches up already. And my first race in the sequence is affected by it because I am losing my top pick, Meet You at the Delta. The late pick four at Tampa today kicks off in race number six at about quarter to three this afternoon. Maiden 16 claimers going 5.5. I had it 1, 4, 6, and 7. The one is out now, however, Meet You at the Delta. So I'm now 4, 6, and 7. And again, I'm just going over the sequence. This isn't necessarily a pick four ticket. It's just some ideas for the sequence itself. But again, we're now move up on the four. Man of Men goes out for Gerald Bennett off a debut effort that was not much, but it was around two turns. It was Gerald Bennett. So again, debuting around two turns is always tough, so I'm going to kind of give him a pass on what was a poor performance. Trained by Gerald Bennett. That's a bonus for me with a trainer who's going very well at the meet. And today cuts back to 5.5. So if this horse benefited from the debut, might appreciate this cutback in distance this afternoon. So Man of Men on top. Midnight Tequila in the second spot, getting some class relief. This horse has had plenty of opportunities, 8, and hasn't gotten it done yet. And the last couple of races certainly are uninspiring. I can't deny that. Really, if you look at the PPs, the best races have been on turf. The dirt races are a little dicey, but boy, this isn't a strong field. And again, with some class relief, maybe this horse gets a a little bit of a better position. Valoroso, blinkers on, first time gelding, first time Lasix, hasn't been seen since the end of last year, and comes across from the east coast of the state. Those Gulfstream Invaders have done well, certainly at this meet. Like Midnight Tequila, there's not a whole lot here to give you much confidence other than gets the venue relief that may be a little bit beneficial. I could probably make the same case for the 2 and the 3, the 8's a fresh face. This is the one you'll have to get through a little bit because there's nobody. The firster that I had on top, Meet You at the Delta, was from a trainer with a limited sample, had a pretty good record with first-time starters, and it was doing well at the meet. I had a little bit of confidence in that horse. Once the scratch appeared, now my confidence level is a little less. But if you get through this race, then the others become not necessarily much easier, but I think this may be the toughest one after the scratch. But I have it now in the sixth race, 4, 6, and 7. Tampa's seventh race, 3, 2, 6, and 10. Speed Salsa on top, claimed last time. And that, for me, is a concern. Won the debut effort back in January in this N2L condition. The follow-up was a decent third. Back in the N2L condition, ran second last time, so seemed to kind of figure out the condition a little bit. But was also in those last two races running for 8,000, now runs for 16. And last time was claimed. So move up off the claim, which I kind of like the confidence, but was claimed away from Gerald Bennett, who's having a great meet. Now, the new trainer, not quite as high percentage, but I do like that Sammy Camacho sticks. I mean, he's familiar with the horse. He's been on it in all three starts, so that he sticks on board. We have 10-1 on the morning line. Off the claim, maybe we'll get that. I'm not sure. But I thought the horse was interesting, again, on the Camacho angle a little bit. Strict Vow in the second spot. This horse has shown a little bit of ability at this level. Long story short, has been okay in the, well, it was okay in the lone try on the turf last time. So I think that horse is playable as well. So for me, in race number 7 at Tampa, 3, 2, 6, and 10. Race number 8 at Tampa, 9, 5, 2, and 3. Number 9, Soul Reflection, comes off a nice win last time when a couple of starts back made a turf to dirt move and seemed to kind of get a little bit of a wake-up call with that move. Ran a good second, 2 back, and then the win last time. So I just think the horse is in good form right now. Seems logical. Nice win last time at the N2L level for Battle Rags. Has now strung a couple of wins together. Moves up a condition, but I think is in good form. And then Sir Higgins in the third spot. I have to draw a line through the seasonal debut, but I do think the horse is better than that. And I expect a little bit of a rebound, which puts the horse in the mix. If you look at the performances further down the page. The eighth race at Tampa, 9, 5, 2, and 3. And we'll wind up that late pick four. So we have early scratches up at Tampa, but clearly there's going to have to be some changes because I have 2 AEs. The first 2 AEs at the top of my selections. I have a 12, 11, 2, 7, and then if the AEs hadn't gotten in, the 1 and the 3. I'm looking at the scratches. The 4 is scratched out. That means potentially one of the AEs can come in, but that's the only scratch listed, and there are 2 also eligible. So these are still early scratches. There will be an update, obviously, with 2 AEs that both can't stay in if there's only 1 scratch in the body of the field. But I have a 12, 11, 2, and 7 with the 12 tune in and the 11 as well, both being serious players. If one or the other does get in, there is far more recency for tune in, and that's the reason I put that one on top slightly. But Kentucky Ghost is also good, so one or the other of those get in, take a look. Idle Time at a decent price goes out for Mike Deeney off a win last time. I've been liking the Deeney horses throughout the meet. And Red Storm Risen hasn't been seen since November up at Woodbine, but it's a Grand Motion trainee that I think could be a little bit interesting coming in and getting onto the turf this afternoon down at Tampa for the seasonal debut. So again, for me, I'm going a little deep here, but I have the two AEs at the top. So, you know, juggle up accordingly if there are scratches amongst those two. 12, 11, 2, and 7. Then take a look at the 1 and the 3 in the ninth at Tampa. All right, we will head to a break. But before we head to a break, when we come back, we're going to talk a little Fairgrounds stakes recap action with our friend Brian Addo, who's been based down at the Fairgrounds throughout this meet. So stay tuned for that. But as we go to the break, the Louisiana Derby yesterday, the winners were interviewed after the race in the winner's circle, and they were quite enthusiastic. And they're, you know, points in the holster now. They're going to the Derby. Clearly, they were excited about it. So we'll head to the break with the interview yesterday in the winner's circle. The winners of the Louisiana Derby, the owners of the winner. We'll take a look at that and come back in a few with Brian Addo to recap some of the Fairground Stakes action. Stay tuned.
TwinSpires.com, Louisiana Derby, Gate to Wire Hot Rod Charlie, Joel Rosario. We've got Greg Helm of Roadrunner Racing and Patrick O'Neill of Boat Racing. Greg, let's start with you. How does it feel you're going to the Kentucky Derby?
How could it possibly not feel as good as anybody could ever feel? We've got a horse in the Kentucky Derby. This guy knows it better than anybody. We've been struggling with this horse to be first every time, and he comes in right when we need him.
All right, Patrick, you're up. Obviously, Doug, you're his nephew, I believe, right? And you've won a couple of Kentucky Derbies in the family. You've been down this road before, but this one's extra special. Boat racing, you guys are killing it here today.
We're just so extremely blessed. I just missed the phone call from Doug and Dennis, my uncles, but it's a family affair. But you know, we added friends, and you know, my friends are a part of boat racing, and we couldn't be more fortunate. What an amazing horse, an amazing sport, and we're going to the Kentucky Derby, hopefully. You know,
Roadrunner Racing, Boat Racing, Greg Helm and Patrick O'Neill, Hot Rod Charlie wins the $1 million TwinSpires.com Louisiana Derby.
Horses racing, people betting. It's been going on since before the Roman Empire. And the fastest horse is still the one that wins. Where there's gambling, there's cheating. That hasn't changed either. What has changed are the tools used to combat doping and cheaters. Today, professional horse racing operates under an aggressive anti-doping program, testing labs on par with the Olympics, and standards tougher than human sport. For 85 years, the Association of Racing Commissioners International has fought for safe horses and honest sport. ARCI standards form the basis for the rules of racing. Today, they call for a new expanded program to protect all horses, young and old. To join with them or learn more, visit ARCI.com.
County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to Racing Across America, joined now by Brian Edo, live from the fairgrounds. Wanted to touch base and get some live reaction on yesterday's stakes action. Brian, good morning.
Hey, Seth, good morning. Good to hear from everybody.
Yeah, happy to have you on board, as I say, to give some live reaction to a really nice stakes day down at the fairgrounds yesterday. Just before we get to specific races, sum up the day overall. What was it like? Obviously, in the year of COVID, it's always different, but it seemed like there was a good buzz during the afternoon. We were watching the broadcast and saw some of your post-race interviews in the winner's circle. You and Joe Kay did a great job there, but what was the day like?
Yeah, there was definitely a buzz here, Seth. There was a very limited amount of people here, but obviously between owners and trainers and connections and things like that, the plant was very well stacked, you know, everybody doing their social distancing and stuff, and it was a lot of fun. The day Joe and I were on the backstretch very early, and it was not warm out, but it really turned the corner, I'd say, right around noon, Seth, as we got down to the set, and we kind of walked outside and said, whoa, it is a lot nicer, a lot warmer than when we were on the backstretch at 7:45. So, Seth, it turned into one heck of a day, and one heck of a racing day as well. We did an all-time fairgrounds record, 18,746,000 in handles. So that passed the previous record by over 500,000, and we are up 40% from this day last year. So obviously, everybody around here was elated.
Yeah, I don't blame you. And it's very Saratoga-ish, too, with the Travers being what traditionally in the four-week meet was that third Saturday, but now it's the next to the last Saturday. So still a week to go down there. I kind of like that. Some people say, oh, venues should have their big day be the last day. I kind of like you have the big day maybe a week or so ahead of time, and then it gives you a little chance to wind down and some of the locals get to enjoy it and whatnot. So another week of racing to go down at the fairgrounds.
Yeah, it's just cool. You know, we added a Wednesday for the final day. For the final week, and so there are six racing days left, and you're right, we don't have any stakes. Excuse me, we do have a couple smaller stakes next Saturday. Almost forgot about that. But yeah, we kind of get that last week to unwind and let it all settle in, and then obviously the Joe Kays of the world and people like that are heading up to Churchill, and then the, you know, things really get into focus for the Kentucky Derby as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of Kentucky Derby, now let's focus on some of the action. And obviously a lot of points on the line and a trip to the Kentucky Derby. And we just watched Joe interview the owners. The owners were very enthusiastic after the race. So we stuck that in the last segment. The owners talking about we're headed to the Derby. Can't blame them. Can't blame the enthusiasm. But let's take a look at the Louisiana Derby and the stretch run. And my takeaway was, I mean, if you like Hot Rod Charlie, I tipped my cap to you. I had the horse down at the bottom of the mix coming in from Southern California. I think you had to pay a little bit of attention just on that angle. But I was high on Mandaloon. I thought Mandaloon and Proxy were the two horses you would go with. And boy, they were disappointing. Proxy, the number four, winds up running fourth. Mandaloon, the number six horse, winds up sixth as a 6-5 favorite. But it is Hot Rod Charlie getting it done. Kind of a ding-dong battle here for a few strides around the eighth pole with Midnight Bourbon. Well, Midnight Bourbon's coming on the inside, kind of duking it. No, Midnight Bourbon is there. On the inside coming is Obesos, excuse me. So Midnight Bourbon winds up second. Out of that trio of Mandaloon, Proxy, and Midnight Bourbon was the one that was kind of there making a little noise at the end. But as I say, disappointing for Proxy and Mandaloon. Hats off to the Hot Rod Charlie crew.
Yeah, I mean, both the top two, obviously they ran well. I mean, they ran fast early, a 47.5 when you're going a mile and 3/16. That's racehorse time, Seth. And nobody made up a lot of ground. But Obesos, you know, was close from late. Mandaloon was, you know, we're going to go back and talk to Brad Cox in a few minutes here and see the story, but you know, Mandaloon was dreadful. I mean, that's really, to be completely honest, that's how he was. He had a perfect three wide stalking trip, but you can't take anything away from the winner because he faced our three horses And obviously the knee-jerk reaction from a lot of people will be, well, these horses aren't that good. You know, you overrated your horses. And maybe, you know, who knows? We'll see more in 6 weeks' time. But Midnight Bourbon certainly ran a big race. And there's Obesos, as you mentioned, for the Foleys and West, our friends Terry and Tommy and West Point running on at the end. He galloped out nicely, and he closed some way back. In Proxy, I talked to Mike Stidham extensively after the race, and John Velasquez for that matter, and they basically said it was weird because he ran the exact same race he ran with in the Risen Star, but he did it with blinkers. So Johnny said, you know, I had to ride him after the first turn. It looked like he was going to take me there, and then he came off the bridle again, and I had to ride him again, and he was just a very, I think, even was the right would be the right way to put it, a very even fort. So it will be interesting to see what some of those horses do. Mandaloon is in the Kentucky Derby, but again, off such a disappointing effort. He was sixth, beaten about 10 lengths. You know, what do you do from there? Brad Cox and the team will have to figure that out. But, you know, certainly Hot Rod Charlie and Midnight Bourbon, to me, go to Kentucky as, you know, legitimate winning contenders, especially after what happened yesterday with Life is Good being out now.
Yeah, Midnight Bourbon is actually sitting number two on the points list now. Hot Rod Charlie with the 100 points moves up to number one. But Midnight Bourbon wins the LeComp, third in the Risen Star, a nice second yesterday. So Asmussen has a live contender too. But Hot Rod Charlie kind of complimenting, you would have to think, that, you know, the Southern California contingent as well, as he continues doing well for those folks. All right, let's go a little bit earlier on the card. Another race I was really looking forward to because I was hoping for the ding-dong battle that we saw last time between Clairier and Travel Column and the Rachel Alexandra. They came down the stretch ding-donging it. We talked to you yesterday, and you thought Travel Column, and we'll see here, Travel Column's number eight horse, gets the jump on LeClairier, and you kind of hinted to that yesterday when you talked about the horse, the Travel Column might get the better trip. She did. Clairier makes a nice late run here and keeps coming, and winds up a clear second eventually, but Travel Column just got the jump, and the betting public was right on board. I was kind of surprised. Clairier, 3-1, and the favorite was Travel Column at 2-1, but they run 1-2 again. We didn't get the duel, but the rivalry continues for Travel Column and Clairier.
Yeah, we didn't find anything out we didn't know yesterday, Seth. I mean, if the race played out, you know, not often it happens, but it played out exactly like I think everyone pretty much thought. Travel Column was always going to be in front of Clairier. Travel Column was in a great spot yesterday. Clairier was at a decided race flow pace disadvantage, and that's exactly how it played out on the racetrack. But both of them ran very well within those circumstances because, okay, yes, well, Travel Column got all the best of it. She did. She also won convincingly and easily, yet Clairier made her patented late run, was well clear of and easily clear of third, and now they go on to the 9th furlong Kentucky Oaks where they should meet right in the middle, Seth. You know, Travel Column, to me, with her tactical speed, is still the horse to beat, but it's probably by an inch or two over Clairier because of the stretch, because of the distance, because of, theoretically, a little better race flow for Clairier.
Yeah, again, it'd be fun to see these two continue this rivalry. So far, it's been very good. But Travel Column wins yesterday's rubber match. The Munoz Memorial, we talked about this as well. And I was a little bit skeptical of Colonel Liam. That said, I had Cross Border on top. Colonel Liam second, Factor This third, Cross Border and Factor This scratch. At that point, I move up with Colonel Liam, and he looked certainly a lot better with the scratch of those two and lived up to it as the 3-5 favorite. Colonel Liam's the number five horse here, getting it done. Two Emmys, number seven, runs second. Logical Myth runs third. But Colonel Liam, as I say, I just wasn't quite convinced off the Pegasus turf. But now he's put a couple together, and so I got to be a believer. The Lowe's and Todd Pletcher seem to have one of the players in the turf division this year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's Colonel Liam is an eye of the beholder horse. I saw he ran a 99, so it's like he's a really nice horse, but he doesn't wow you, and he beat a horse. He beat a house horse yesterday in two Emmys who was a long shot and was not a, you know, even much of a listed stakes kind of horse. So, you know, you're allowed to pick apart Colonel Liam a little bit. With that being said, he did it easily. He did it comfortably. And, oh, by the way, yeah, he did back up his Pegasus World Cup turf. So I don't think there's any doubt, Seth, that he's the best turf horse right now on March 21st that we have in this country. That doesn't mean he's, you know, 4-5 in the Turf Classic on Derby Day at Churchill Downs. You know, he's just a very nice horse right now. But honestly, I think we probably said the same about Bricks and Mortar 2 years ago. And then, yeah, you know, you see what these horses can go on to do. He's a very lightly raced horse. He's only run on the turf 5 times. So the world is his oyster right now, you know, and he's only getting better for Todd Pletcher.
Yeah, that's an interesting analogy, Bricks and Mortar, with this one, because as I say, I just haven't been totally convinced, but now that he's put a couple together. But we'll see how he does play into the division. He certainly will be a player, but how does he fit in as the year goes along? All right, let's go back to the New Orleans Classic. This was a lot of fun. I was trying to find an alternative to Owendale. I couldn't as I looked at the race. I just went back and forth and didn't find anything else clever to go with, so I put Owendale on top. I didn't quite know what to do with Enforceable. I didn't use Chess Chief as an alternative, but I know, you know, you look at the odds at 5-1, the betting public was thinking this was a player. And as they come down the stretch, it will be number 2 Owendale taking a lead late at the point where you think, he's pretty good. Then Chess Chief starts to come, the number 6 on the outside as we're watching the stretch run, and you think he might go on by. But then Owendale seems to dig in a little bit, and you kind of get the feeling he's going to hold on. And then they hit the wire. And I'll tell you, live and on the replay, I thought Owendale had it. But when they showed the photo, it was actually, you know, the chart margin is ahead, actually. And so live and watching the replay, I was totally off base. But it winds up to be Chess Chief in the photo, in a really a fun photo as well, a fun ding-dong battle.
If you want to save some time, Seth, we can just go to the next race, because you said it exactly. I mean, I have nothing to add. You watch it live. You watch the replay. You watch everything. You're like, okay, we got to go talk to Brad Cox and Florent Giroux after the race. Make sure we get them. They won the race. And then they put that up, and we were like, wait, that's not right. And then you see the photo, and I said the exact same thing last night to Joe as we were banging out these press releases. It wasn't even close in the photo. It was just... It was impossible, that's what happened. And Dallas Stewart, his second upset of the day, he won at a giant number with Classy John, but that was just an absolute, it wasn't a shocker on the results, because I believe, you know, he was 5-1, and he was somewhat logical off his third last time to Maxfield, but you watch that live, and there was just, he never won. It was crazy. And then you see that photo, and like we said, it was relatively comfortable.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned it. It was the second upset of the day for Dallas Stewart, and we won't show the Costa Rising, but I will mention he won with Classy John at $61. Nice mutual there. This one, Chess Chief, paid $12 even in the New Orleans. But yeah, it was just fun to watch that as he came, and then you thought, oh, no, I think Owendale held on. But no, it was not that way when they developed the photo. All right, let's look at one more race that started out that all-stakes late pick 5. And I did note, you know, when we talked yesterday and the day before, you guys were expecting $750,000. Both the late pick 5, all-stakes pick 5, and the all-stakes pick 4 were estimated at $750,000, and you top that amount easily in both of those. So a nice job down there on the big day. But the late pick 5 started out with the Benson Memorial. I had the winner down at the bottom of my mix, so not a huge surprise. But for folks who used it, you got a nice 9-1 price on a Joe Sharp runner with Irod Ortiz on board. It will be Summer in Saratoga over Dominga, number 10 winning envelope. In the third spot, I used the number 10 on top, so I was kind of happy with his performance. But it's a nice finish here with a few of them kind of getting there on the finish line. But it is number 13, Summer in Saratoga, with Irod Ortiz, a little bit of an upset at $20.20.
Yeah, nice job by Joe Sharp. He was 0-16 off this elongated layoff. You know, when we talked, I was kind of against the local horses that all came out of the we'll call it the prep for this last time. I respected them, but I thought you were allowed to go elsewhere. That's why I actually
ended up on Dominga, who ran well too. And Summer in Saratoga fits the exact same bill. She was lightly raced, hadn't been out since last year, but now a bigger, stronger, tougher version. 5 years old for her. Dominga was four. And, yeah, she ran very, very well. And from the outside post, you know, Irad Ortiz just has a knack, regardless of where they break from, for putting them in the right spot, and they just seem to run for him. So a really good job. Joe Sharp's had a strong meet since the opening bell on November 26th, and he continued it here with a nice stakes win.
Yeah, and I saw, what was it, a couple weeks ago, you had his wife, Rosie Napravnik, was kind of sitting in with you guys for the day, touting her aftercare project, correct?
Yeah, new vocation. Yeah. She does a lot with that, and she was very integral in getting the one here up and running outside of New Orleans. So she was great, and Joe had her on all day, and it was a really successful day. Raised a lot of money, raised a lot of awareness, and Rosie did a good job letting, you know, trainers, owners, public, you know, adopt the racehorse kind of thing, you know, give them a second home, their aftercare, their afterlife of racing. And yeah, that was pretty cool to have her, because she is just so revered down here, Seth, in New Orleans, and to have her for the entire day, you know, picking horses and just being on and letting everyone know that, you know, these horses, once they stop racing, that's not the end of their career. So that was really cool.
Yeah, that was fun to watch. And certainly it's an issue that has become important to the industry over the past few years. So it was great of you guys to do it as well. Great of you to come on over the past couple of days, taped Handicappers Report a couple of days ago, and then came live yesterday and live today. Really appreciate it, because I know it's a busy weekend, but we did want to feature on kind of the exclamation point of the Fairgrounds meet and tout some of that action you guys down there. So again, pass on our congratulations to the entire crowd down there on the big day yesterday, and good luck the week forward. We'll talk again.
Yeah, we'll talk at the end of the week. Big one coming up, Florida Derby. So looking forward to it, Seth.
Absolutely. Brian Addo live from the Fairgrounds the day after the Louisiana Derby. A little bit of an upset from Hot Rod Charlie, at least as far as, you know, Mandaloon and Proxy not really running their races, but going to be fun to see how these horses progress on over the next few weeks on the Derby Trail, Kentucky Derby Trail, as it were. All right, that takes you through some of the stakes action from yesterday, a little handicapping as well. We'll wrap things up for this edition of Racing Across America. I'll be back in another couple hours or so with OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. Don't forget, you can come here to the Clubhouse Racebook and watch all the racing action and all the basketball action as well, and a double promotion. The Play the Board Handicapping Contest and a match bet promotion all here this afternoon at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Thanks to our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship of this program, some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. And again, I'm going to wind things up for Racing Across America for this morning. I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us. Be back in a couple hours, an hour and a half or two, with OTB Live for Sunday afternoon. Stay tuned.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.